Hi everyone, welcome to another season of Hashing Out the Law. I'm your host, Arash Hashemi. We're on season 4, and on this episode, my guest is Larry Newman. Larry is a former Jasper County Sheriff's Deputy. He also served as a detective. He's a first respondent, a volunteer firefighter, and he's worked as a probation and parole volunteer. He's currently the president of the Missouri Alliance of Professional Bail Bond Agents, and he's worked closely with lawmakers and other individuals on bail matters. As everyone knows, there is a rise in crime across the country, and there is different opinions on why this is occurring. Larry offers his perspective on the reasons, and he suggests that it lies in a variety of new laws that do more to protect criminal defendants than they do the general public. So I invited him on so we could discuss this. I hope you guys enjoy. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Hashing Out the Law. I'm your host, Arash Hashemi. This is our 4th season, and I'm very excited this episode. I have with me Larry Newman. Larry is from Missouri. He used to be a sheriff and a detective. How are you, Larry?
I'm great. Thank you.
I got those right. You were a sheriff and a detective, correct?
Yes. I worked for the sheriff's department, and then I was a detective.
Did you wear any other hats in law enforcement?
I served on a committee with probation and parole that was counseling first-time offenders, trying to keep them from reoffending, but that was a volunteer job.
And then currently you're the president of the Missouri Alliance of Professional Bail Bondsmen, is that correct?
Yes, Missouri Alliance of Professional Bail Bond Agents. I've been a bail bond agent about 10 years now. My wife and I.
Where in Missouri are you?
We're in the southwest corner right next to Joplin.
I had a fraternity brother. He was from St. Joseph, Missouri.
Yes, northwest. Yeah.
And he used to tell me stories. I've never been to Missouri. I haven't been lucky enough, but he used to tell me stories of Missouri when he was there. But let's get back on track, Larry. And I wanted to talk about crime, and specifically the rise of crime in this country. I don't know about your state, but our state, I'm in California currently, in Los Angeles, and our state violent crime specifically, has been on the rise. My understanding is it's been on the rise nationwide. Is that how it is in Missouri as well?
Yes, it is.
Could you tell us why you think there's such a rise, and I know it's a complex question and it's compound, but why is it on the rise, and what can we do to bring it back down?
Well, I have worked in the court system for the last 10 years as a bail bondsman, working with the prosecutor, the judges, the attorneys, the defendants. And I can tell you that I have seen a dramatic change in how we handle defendants who plead guilty for committing a crime. There's no longer any punishment there. They are allowed to plead guilty, put on probation, which means they're out on the street the next day, and they're right back to doing what they were doing. So I have seen a dramatic correlation between the court system, the criminal justice system, and crime. Criminal justice system has become very soft on crime, very soft on penalties. The judges are not allowed to follow the statutes as they're written. And so there's nothing to stop them from going out and committing more crimes because they know there's no punishment. So yes, it has been on the rise.
I have a couple of questions for you. So I know you're the president of the Professional Bail Bondsmen. And on this show, on previous seasons, we've had people that are from the bond agency. And we've discussed how certain states, New York was one of them, and California just tried to do it, but the voters didn't allow it, of a no bail system, meaning that the proponents of this are saying that cash bail is actually unfair because the poor could never afford the bail, no matter how low it is, and they stay in jail because of it. So there should be no bail at all.
people should go in front of a judge. The judge can determine what, if they should be kept or they should be allowed to go. And in most cases for misdemeanors, they just give them a citation and let them go. So a lot of people are saying that this is one of the problems that we have. What are your opinions on that?
Well, I know from a criminal justice point of view, when you have no surety bail company that is guaranteeing the appearance of that person, you have no accountability. There's no accountability if they're released on their own recognizance, if they're released on a minor cash bond. You've got no one to go get them should they cross the state line. Where I'm at in Missouri, in Joplin, if they get caught and they're released, they can drive 5 miles and be in Kansas. They can live over there for 20 years and never have to pay for the crime that they committed in Joplin. So the bail bondsman is the only resource that the court has to say, I want you to go bring this person back for court because they didn't show up when they were supposed to. And we have the legal authority to go do that.
Now, Larry, one thing you said is they could cross state lines, live in Kansas for 20 years without having to pay for their crime. I want to make sure we're on the same page. If they do get interaction with law enforcement in Kansas and a warrant pops up, the Kansas PD will hold them, though, on that warrant, won't they?
No, not unless there is a hold placed on that extradition to Kansas. If it is a misdemeanor, let's say somebody comes into your place of business and steals $500 out of the till, it's $500 cash. They walk out, spend it, they get caught, they get released. That is a misdemeanor. Misdemeanors can't be transported across state lines.
So only felonies.
Only felonies.
So but
if I write a bond as a professional surety bondsman, if I write a bond releasing that person and they fail to go to court, I can travel anywhere I want, anywhere that I want to go, wherever they're at, pick them up and bring them back. That's accountability. That's being responsible. That's what the courts are lacking right now. People are getting out on an OR bond. They're getting out for free. They're getting out on a small cash bond. They're taken off and they're never seen again until they commit another crime.
Right. So in Missouri law, if you have a misdemeanor warrant and you're picked up in another state, they won't extradite you on that.
They will not extradite, no, sir.
Okay. All right. So I don't know if you know about Los Angeles County's district attorney, George Gascon. I don't know if you heard about him.
A little, yes.
He used to be San Francisco's district attorney, and then he came down here and he won. However, he's been very controversial, and there is actually a movement to recall him.
Yes.
One of the reasons is people claim he's not holding criminals accountable. And his argument is the justice system is broken and needs to be revamped. And if it is revamped, then we won't have people entering the justice system as criminals. So I'm paraphrasing and I'm making it very simple. But what do you say to those people who have this argument that the justice system itself is broken and that's why we have the problems we do?
Well, his opinion is to eliminate a large number of crimes from the statutes. They're no longer crimes. So people can rob and steal and assault and everything else, and it's no longer a criminal situation. That's how he can lower the entry into the criminal justice system. And it creates mayhem on the streets. I think there needs to be a change in the criminal justice system. And I firmly believe if we do not get strict and harsh on penalties for crime, they're going to continue to commit crime. Nobody wants to do that, but the sheer human nature of everything is if we don't punish them severely enough, they will go on and commit more crime.
Right. One of the arguments that they make in California is several years ago when Jerry Brown was the governor, they passed a law and they made, if you stole anything worth more than $450, it was a felony. They raised that threshold to $950.
Right.
So if you go into a store and you steal something worth $900, it's just a misdemeanor. And you usually get a citation. Your court date is about 2-3 months and they release you. And the argument is, well, I could just go into 4, 5, 6 different stores once a day and take what I want up to $900 and get a misdemeanor citation, come out and do it again. Do you think that if that threshold, for example, in California was lowered back to 400, or rather than me being cited and released, I was actually held, would that prevent people thinking about committing such crimes from doing it?
Yes, it's a unique dynamic. And first off, when you've got this raised to $900 and everything's a misdemeanor and you're not allowed to arrest them, that is a shock to the system of the police officers who are out there trying to do their job to protect the public. Pretty soon, that's going to create a situation where your police officers are going to back off and say, I'm not even going to write a report on that. I ran into that 2-3 weeks ago myself when we were picking up somebody. He committed endangerment of a child and the police officers, well, we're not even going to write it up. So the numbers that you're seeing on the amount of crime that's rising are really not accurate. Crime is rising a lot more than that because it's not being reported. You're not going to fix this problem until you get some severe penalties. And by not putting people into the system when they commit a crime, you're doing a great injustice to your community, to the law-abiding citizens, and it is a public safety hazard doing that.
Larry, do you see this trend of crime on the rise continuing, or do you think it's one of these trends that happens every 5-6 years and then it goes back to normal?
I think you're going to see crime continue to rise until the legislators get enough sand to stand up and say enough's enough and pass laws that will put a stop to this, that will ensure severe penalties for committing a crime. I mean, human history is replete with this. We've been through this cycle over and over and over for 10,000 years. Okay? And when we get complacent and crime gets on the rise, it takes a severe stop to that crime to get society back on track. Society has a cancer. It's called entitlement. Everybody thinks that they can have whatever they want. They can steal whatever they want. They're entitled to it. It started in 1965, and it's gotten so bad with everything else going on. It's going to take a lot of work and a lot of effort to stop it.
I think it's a major problem for all of society. It's not just one piece of the country or one state. And I do agree with the fact that it needs to be stopped. I also think that it's not just the justice system. I think that we need to go back to the root of it all. And I think that society has lost some of its values for lack of a better word. And yeah. I think it goes back to being taught as a child what's right and what's wrong and how you should be responsible, not just to yourself, to your family, but to the rest of society. Now that's just an opinion of mine and it's a theory, but I think fixing that is much harder than, you know, passing new legislation and enforcing it. In your opinion, throughout everything you've seen as a police officer, detective, you know, and I'm asking that because people who are police officers are in law enforcement, they see the dark side of the world and they see things that the normal society doesn't see. So having experienced that, in your opinion, how do we fix the core of this problem?
Fixing the core of the problem is a morality problem. It's teaching kids responsibility, respect for themselves and others, which is not being taught. It begins at a young age, but we've got so many generations now that have lived this entitlement life, and the society's music and culture has done so much to damage our society. It's going to take a lot of hard work and a long, rough road to get back there. And I don't have an answer for how specifically that's going to work. I just know that it's going to be really hard.
I agree with you. Let's go back. Let's circle back. And I'm going to use Gascon again because he's the local example that comes to my mind. Now, there's a campaign to recall him, but he got elected. So if these politicians keep getting elected with these ideas and these promises that they have, which go against what needs to be done to bring down this crime rate, what do we do about that? I mean, I understand that more people need to go out there and vote, but apparently the people who are voting see these politicians and what they're standing for as the way to go. What is there to be done about that?
The only thing to be done about that is the citizens out there, the citizens who know what the right thing is, who believe what the right thing is, need to stand up. Too many people sit on the sidelines and watch the world go by when they need to be standing up and saying, hey, that's incorrect. That needs to be fixed. We can disagree on some things and how it needs to be fixed, but until enough people stand up and say enough's enough, I really don't know. I don't know where the problem gets fixed at.
Now, Larry, in your state, what steps have been taken to fix the wrongs? And when I say the wrongs, I mean the rise of crime, specifically violent crime. What steps have been taken? Which steps are successful? And what steps do you think other states should look to as an example?
Well, in Missouri, the law was never changed to become more lenient. The Supreme Court justices in Missouri made some court rules that told the local judges, you have to do this, this, and this. One of them was, well, you ask the defendant a question, and whatever they tell you, you have to take that as you believe that. You know, the judges that I know and I've talked to, that's laughable to them, but that's the rules they have to live under. The Missouri legislature, when they found out that what the courts were doing, they threw a fit. They've started legislation to go back and take that power back away from the courts to get them back to doing the right thing. I contend every criminal statute has a penalty attached to it. Every law that you ever see in any state, anywhere, always has a penalty attached because you have to have some way to enforce it. Criminal statutes are the same. We have penalty assessed on criminal statutes, 1 year in the county jail, 5 years, 10 years, whatever the case may be. We need to go back to following that religiously. Right now, someone can get, well, we had one 2 weeks ago. He was sentenced to 8 years in Department of Corrections. He was released after 3 years, back out on the street, and within a week, he had burglarized someone, stole their car, held them at gunpoint with their own gun. It didn't take him long. But everybody knows, every criminal out here knows that you can go steal whatever, beat somebody up, go in front of the judge and plead guilty. Judge, yes, I did it. And the judge says, okay, well, I'll sentence you to 5 years, but we're going to put you on probation. So we're going to release you tomorrow and go have a meeting with your probation officer. That's what happens. There's no penalty in that. So it's the system. We're starting, the legislature's starting to work on it, but it's going to take a long time.
Now, I have a question. What about the people who, no matter how long the punishment is, are unfazed by it? What do we do about them? And this is just a hypothetical question. So I'm not looking to get a specific answer from out of you. I just want to know, what do you think we do with those people?
Well, I read some research one time, and it said that 2 out of every 5 people would naturally become evil if law was taken away. So 2 out of every 5 people that you meet on the street would become a criminal if there was no laws to hold them back. The question that you're asking me is a hard question. It's been asked time and time again. In the 12th, 13th, 14th century, that they didn't even ask. If you committed that kind of a crime, you didn't live. Clear up until the early 19th century in the United States. So we have gotten to where we don't have the right to get mean with them or, be cruel. So those people are right back out there, and they live among us.
Yes. Now, I've never been in law enforcement, but I've been in the criminal justice system, and I've seen a lot of dark things and a lot of things that I don't want my loved ones to know exist.
Correct.
And you stated something. You said the research you read that 2 out of 5 people will do a crime if there was no laws. It goes back to this question that I always have. And I want to ask you the question, in your opinion, do you think that some people are just born pure evil, or everybody is born the same and something happens to them that makes them be evil, for lack of better terms?
I think something happens to them. I think something in there, in how they grow up. I got 7 grandchildren. They all got different attitudes from the time they were 2 months old. But they still have to be taught the restraint, the respect, the responsibility. At 2 years old, they're learning that. They know that already. They know how to restrain themselves and what not to do and what they can do. There are people out there that were never taught that. And the more that they got away with, the more that they liked it, and the worse it got, until there's a time where there's no turning back. And there are some people that, you're correct, cannot be rehabilitated. How you look into the future and determine that is difficult. The only thing that we can deal with is, what did you do? What have you proven yourself that you would do? If you killed 2 people, are you going to continue? You've proven yourself to be that way. That's all we can work off of.
So I'm going to go back to the basis of the question. You think that everybody is born the same and something happens to them. So there's still hope for us yet, because
yes,
that's good to hear. I could pick your brain all day, and I would love to hear some of your stories, but I know you're a very busy man. Anything else before we go you want to add to the conversation, Larry?
No, thank you very much for allowing me to come on. And we're trying to get the word out and with common sense. Everybody knows that this is the truth. They may not accept it as the truth, and they may stand there and say, well, this is not the truth. But inside, they know what we're saying is correct. So we've just got to keep saying it and get people on board so we can get our society, our nation, our country back.
Thank you, Larry. It was delightful having you on. And we'll be sure to include the link to the president. You're the president of the Professional Bail Bonds Association, the Missouri Alliance of Professional Bail Bonds Association. We'll be sure to include the link to that. And I hope to have a conversation with you further in the future, and maybe we can rejoice at the progress and not be sad about no progress.
I love it. Yes, absolutely.
Have a good day, Larry.